Deuteronomy 22, and we're going to pick up at verse number 6. Once again, the children of Israel are getting ready to go into the land of promise. Moses is giving instruction. He's really reiterating, going back over the tenets of the law as he gets ready to send them in. He's not going to be able to take them in. And we've touched on that some, and we'll learn more about it later on. But Joshua's going to take them in. So he's going back over again the things of the law, and he says in Deuteronomy 22, verse 6, if a bird's nest chanced to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. But thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest prolong thy days. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us. We pray, Father, in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Interesting, isn't it? It really is. We've got a verse before that that has to do with a woman wearing a man's garments and a man putting on a woman's garments. And we're going to get other verses that go on about what to do, Lord willing, next week about building a new house and then sowing diverse seeds and just different things. Then you get thrown in here about what to do. The Lord says what to do if you come upon a bird, a female, sitting upon young or eggs, and what you could do. And the Lord said you could take the dam, which is the female parent, and you can let the dam go, the female parent, and take the young to thee. The Lord said you can do that. And says if you do it that way, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest prolong thy days. Wow. Wow. That's interesting. Very interesting. God would throw that in there in his law. Now, it didn't mean that you had to take the bird. I mean, if you came upon a female, a dam, sitting upon a nest of eggs or upon young, that didn't mean you had to take the young. But you could. Because, you would eat eggs. We eat eggs. Or you could take the young and maybe try to raise. Whatever you want to do with them. Lord said you could do that, but you got to leave the dam. You got to leave the dam. And notice the Lord said if you'll do it this way, if you'll do it this way, the Lord said, I'll prolong your days. Look what he says. Look what the inference is. He said that it may be well with thee. The inference is if you don't do it this way, it won't be well with thee. And that thou mayest prolong thy days. The inference is if you don't do it this way, you won't prolong your days. Birds? Eggs? Young? Really? Really. So much so that God said that it even would have an impact over how things went with the children of Israel. Again, with the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. Okay, a holy people, a unique people for God's glory. And it would have to do, even this matter about birds and young, would even have to do with how long their days were on the land. That's an amazing thing. Now, let me say this. Now, brethren, look here. You listen to me good. Most of us, as Bible believers, tend to, if we're going to err, we're going to err on the conservative side, to the right. Listen to me now. And for the most part, rightfully so. Okay? Not that we should err, but what I'm saying is, not that we should err at all, but what I'm saying is that we tend to be like, wow, a lot of that liberal stuff out there, and man, the tree huggers, and amen, amen. There's a spirit to that stuff that is wrong. There is. But brethren, you be careful that you don't shoot too far to the extreme with it, because you will run afoul of some things. Honestly, I don't do that stuff on purpose. I really don't. I don't do that stuff on purpose. Some things will happen when you run across certain principles in Scripture. Because here is a matter to where, the deal not too long ago, that was about, the spotted owl and this and that and the other and all like that. And I understand. People went too far with a thing about that. I understand that. But brethren, let me tell you something. You've got a God that a sparrow don't fall to the ground, but what he doesn't know about it. And I'm going to tell you something.
I want to tell you something. I understand here we are in this world today, and I understand about technology and this and other, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't know in the new heavens and the new earth if we're going to be having smokestacks and vehicles and stuff. I mean, I don't think that stuff in the garden, I think that was a lot better setting. And I'm telling you what, brethren, I thank the Lord for the hand of nature that's out there. Now, understand, listen, I'm not talking about going to extreme. I'm not talking about going to extreme where you get a wrong spirit with the thing, but some of the brethren shoot so far to the right that they miss it too. And that's why I want you to always keep that in mind, brethren. Brethren, the correct posture is never right or left. It's Bible. The correct posture is never right or left. It's Bible. And understand that. Now, with that being said, and we're going to delve into this thing. But isn't it amazing that God is concerned, even to the point of God with the length of their days and how it went with them, determined on how they handled a female bird sitting on her eggs or on her young. Isn't that something? What are you going to do with it? I mean, there it is. Okay, it's the principle's there. By the way, interestingly enough, notice that the female parent is called a dam. That's from whence we get the word dame. It's not used very respectfully today, like that. But it used to be. It wasn't a disrespectful word, but that is where we get the word dame for a female from. Is because a female parent of a bird here is called a dam. All right. Now, so what it is if someone happened to come upon a bird's nest, either in tree or on the ground. Look what it says. If a bird's nest chanced to be before thee in the way in any tree or on the ground, all right, it was allowable to take the young or the eggs, but not the young with the mother, the dam. You say, well, why? Well, we're just given what it is. But most likely, think about this. In taking the dam, there is opportunity. If you take the dam, in leaving the dam, there is opportunity for another generation to be raised. To take the dam and leave the young would leave unattended young to pine away and perish without chance of producing another brood. Brethren, the Lord just didn't make all the animals that He made just to be needlessly just, you know, done away with. Think about it. Now, listen, let me tell you something. If the principle we see in the Bible, even in the New Testament, look, man, take that thing, kill it, eat it. Now, be careful about anybody that will ever try to tell you that you need to go the vegetarian route and stay away from meat. You better watch anybody that tries to propound that thing. That is an Eastern Oriental spiritual mindset that has now crept in even into churches today, and it is dangerous. Did you know that the old saints of God, the old saints of God that you would read about, 1800s and all, I think they saw that stuff coming, and they would, in their writings, they said, look, the believer needs some meat in his physical diet because you fight spiritual battles and you need to be built up. And there's some, and I'm telling you, brethren, listen, the Lord, listen, you could not serve God in the Old Testament without eating meat. You know that, right? Because you had to partake of those Old Testament sacrifices. When you offered a lamb, when you offered a goat, when you offered a cat, not only the priest, but many times the one offering had to partake of that sacrifice. You had to eat the Passover lamb. You had to eat meat to serve God in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we see that you give thanks for it, bless the thing, take it and eat it. But in the garden, we're not in the garden. Something messed up, and we're not in the garden anymore. Yeah, but in the garden, we're not in the garden. They also ran around naked in the garden. You can't do that anymore. You understand that? We can't do that now because things have changed, right? And so, in the garden, again. And in it something, the hippie crowd, what do they want to do? Vegetarian and get naked. Really? Think about that hippie crowd, man, way back. It's like, man, forget the meat, go vegetarian, throw your clothes off. I'm serious, brother. There's a spirit to that stuff. There really is. There's a spirit to it. Oriental, you know, the vegetarian route. Brethren, be careful of that stuff. Be careful of that stuff. In the New Testament, what's the standard for your diet? Moderation. Moderation. Brethren, you know they're finding that. They're finding out more and more, brethren. If you believe the Bible, you'll be fine. Do you know that? I mean, it is the Word of God. So, you know, they come out for so long, you know, that, you know, bread and, I mean, milk and eggs and things like that, you know, you got to be careful about, you know, and butter and all like that. And they're like, well, maybe that's not the culprit we thought. And, well, no kidding. How about moderation? In the Bible, you see butter, you see milk, you see bread, you see fruit, you see meat. Moderation. Moderation. It's interesting. We saw a couple yesterday at the fair that we had not seen at the fair booth. We had not seen in 25, almost close to 30 years. And he's really going through the ringer. And his colon had burst, basically. And he had to have surgery. And then he got double lung clots in his lungs. And almost died. It was really bad. He was about a hospital for a whole month. But you know what the doctor told him? See, what had happened was he had started trying to eat what was healthier, you know, whole grains, this and other. The doctor said, son, white bread for you. Because those whole grain seeds get in there with your diverticulitis and they'll tear you up. So you eat white bread. the stuff they say is bad, you eat. Brethren, you know something? Brethren, I've got relatives that lived 80s, 90s. My grandpa was 96, my great-grandpa. He fell and broke his hip. If it hadn't been for that, he'd probably made it to 100. His sister was 102. Man, he ate fat. I mean, man, that guy would eat salt ham. You understand me? I mean, he'd eat that stuff and eat. And he also walked everywhere he went and worked. He'd work at Garden, man, in his 80s, probably in his 90s. And what I'm saying is, brethren, they ate food. And they got a moderate amount of exercise, a moderate diet. And I'm just telling you, brethren. Can't go wrong with the book. If something bothers you, don't eat it. If it makes you sick, if it upsets your system, don't eat it. But brethren, beware of anyone trying to tell you that your spirituality is connected to the food you eat. Now, those old saints, when they talked about eating protein and meat, they were talking about just so your body had strength to it. Because you know, when you're weak physically, it makes you become prey to being irritable and the ploys of the enemy. All right? So just a good balanced diet. But be careful, brethren, for those who will try to tie in spirituality to your diet. Brethren, the spiritual thing about your diet that you need to be concerned with is moderation. Moderation. Now, with that being said, brethren, again, to leave the young unattended, they're just going to pine away. Because they've not got a mother there to keep them warm, to feed them, to hatch them, and so they're going to die. And you know what? If enough of that happens, not going to be any species left. Did you know that years ago, I think 1800s, there used to be a bird here in South Carolina called the Carolina parakeet? It's a pretty bird. It don't exist no more. Why? It went on women's hats. I'm serious. It became a hat decoration for women's hats. And they just blew them out of the sky. And to go on women's hats. And brethren, the thing about it is, I mean, I understand killing something because you're going to eat it. Right? But going to hat? You know, they almost wiped the buffalo out. They've come back now. But a lot of times they'd kill the buffalo and about wipe them out, you know. And it was... And they're about to come back now. What I'm saying is, brethren, I'm not getting radical about this thing. Listen to me. But I'm saying God did create everything He created for all kinds of purposes. It reveals His glory. It reveals His wonder. You learn much about the nature of God through the animals He's created. Did you know that? Through creation and the Bible, you get a full picture of the things that God wants us to see. Brethren, you learn about God. Brethren, be wary of any people that will try to tell you that a Christian should dress very drably, very gray or black. Hey, if you won't do that, it's your business. But I'm going to tell you something. I know that my God also likes color. Parents didn't just evolve. There's a God who made them with wonderful color. There's fish in the Pacific that men rarely see. And they got beautiful colors. But God sees them. Remember, Revelation chapter 4, for thy pleasure all things were, are, and were created. Just for God's pleasure. And you know what? God likes color. Now, if you don't, that's fine. But don't get on somebody if they do. That's their business. You understand that? Brethren, to go on that road, you are not going to find in the church doctrine of the New Testament to wear the color that you wear is something. No, but modesty. But if you feel like the certain colors are immodest, okay, that's fine. But you keep that between you. And brethren, there's a God that's made all variations of color and kind out there. Let me tell you something. In the realm of nature, God teaches you about humor. But you know, there's some saints, they think that, brethren, foolishness is wrong. Humor is wonderful. God has given you the gift of humor and laughter. God has given you the ability to see the absurd in things. So much of humor is seeing things that are absurd. And they are. You see that the things that are absurd, and you get tickled at it. That's great. I mean, come on, brethren. Now, I've used these examples before, but you know, come on. If you go to a zoo, and there's that red, bare-butted baboon, you go tell me you go by there and you're like, come on. Like, your kid goes by there, and they're laughing. No. We shouldn't laugh at that. Oh, I'm going to have a horse laugh on that thing, man. I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to crack up with you, man. Of course. Brother, when you see the proboscis monkey, you know, that big nose on there and everything, you know, and you see different animals. Come on, brethren. God made hawks. With that look that they've got, boy, that's impressive. You ever seen a hawk mantle its prey? Ooh, that's impressive. You ever seen a peregrine falcon or an eagle? Ooh, that's impressive. You ever seen a jaguar when it's stalking? Ooh, that's impressive. Compare that with a sloth. God imparted the sloth certain characteristics to teach you things. It's used in Proverbs. Have you ever stopped to think, why is that like it is? We know it didn't evolve. God made animals with certain... Does not the Bible say, ask the beast, ask the fishes, they'll teach you that. God made those things. You've done, in keepers, plenty of things to teach characteristics, character traits. Yes! And God wants us to learn from those things. Some of them inspire us. Some of them teach us... Well, they all teach. But things we... And some of them just... They're hilarious. They are. You've seen one of those Tarsus monkeys? Is that it? You know, the eyes go... You know, and just like, and somebody says, well, that doesn't, oh, you've got a problem. God didn't get you that way. God did not get you to where you can't laugh and you can't see the absurd and you can't, God gave you the gift of laughter. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know what a good laughter will do? It'll break up your congestion in your lungs, clear your lungs, it'll clear your sinuses, make you feel better. God gave you that gift of laughter. Foolishness? No, sir. No, sir. Folly? No. No. Off-color things? No. But honest, humorous situations and the absurd in things. Don't you see things all during the day and the week as you're dealing with people that are absurd and it just cracks you up? Man, I saw some things. Look, like this little boy, right? Came to the fair booth. There's the mannequin, right? And this little boy, he's going like he wants to touch it, right? He's going, and out, you know, inside I'm going, I'll break your fingers. Do it. But you know, the kid was killing me. He's, you know, his dad was kind of thankfully keeping watch over him and everything. I mean, he was like, brethren, there are all kinds of situations that are just funny. And you can't help that. And God gave you the ability. Listen, God gave you the ability to shed tears. Jesus wept, the Savior cried. He gave you the ability to see humor in things and to laugh. God gave you all those things. And you see things expressed in the realm of nature also. Now, we're going to see in a little bit also some of the other lessons that God teaches us from that realm. But so here it is. The simple principle we've got here is that if you came upon a nest, the dam was sitting upon the eggs of the young. You could take the young with you, but you couldn't take the mother and the young. That way she can go on, have another brood and produce. So that thing's going to go on. You're going to be able to keep going on. Now listen. We see here that it is understood that a female parent would care for her young. Right? We see that it is just a given, a understood thing, that a female parent will care for her young. She will warm, feed, protect, and defend her young. We'll go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. That should be something that is inherent in every female. It should be something that is just a natural given. That's not where we've got today. Something demonic. And it is demonic. Has taken place. Romans 1, look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Notice, without natural affection. We have a generation of females today that are without natural affection. And brethren, it's a demonic spirit. I really believe that. Because it's something, brethren, when something goes against nature, there's something more than just sin and wrong. Something abominable comes in there. And you have mothers today, brethren, they won't care for their young. They don't care. You know what's going to get in the way of my career? What I want to do? We'll just abort it. They call it just tissue. Or they won't take the care, the time there. Oh, it's interrupting my life. I'm not trying to be nasty here. But you should have thought of that before you let that young man have his way with you. No, what I want to do is I want to do like I want to do, but I don't want to face the consequences. And I still want to have what I want to have. You should have thought about that. Changes things. No. Then I expect the state to take care of my child so I can go do what I want to do. Without natural affection, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. There are individuals who will take and even use the phrase, for my hobby, I like to just bar hop. I'm not making this up. You know what the individual making that statement doesn't realize? Let me tell you something. If she'll bar hop, she'll bed hop. You can just about count on it. Just about count on it. That should be something for a female to make that kind of statement. A man too, but come on, for a female to make that kind of statement, that's a shameful thing. That's a shameful thing. But that's where we're at today. That's where we're at today. That sin corrupts and defiles and ruins. Takes away natural affection. Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, once again without what? Natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Don't have it. Go to Jude, the book of Jude. Jude. Verse 10. Jude, verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Do you know something? You'll see it today. You see it more and more. You have people that will not spend time in the Scriptures. They will not spend time in the Scriptures. Often have never even read their Bible all the way through. Will not spend time in the Scriptures. But yet, they are authorities on what God is like. Yeah. Brethren, the more you learn about God, the more you realize, Lord, I don't know anything. Right, right. But the more time that you spend in that blessed, precious book, the more time that you find yourself going, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, God, I don't know anything. Oh, Lord, teach me. Help me and guide me. But you'll be, they spend no time in the Word of God, no time at all, but they are authorities on how God thinks and how He is. Yet, what they know naturally is brute beast. In other words, the things that should just be inherently natural and understandable to them as far as relationships, as far as children, as far as oblivious. Oblivious. Brethren, we're in a place today that you've got to explain to folks and go over about that it's wrong for a man to be with a man and a woman with a woman. It's sad, brethren. It's in there today at the juvenile center. Preaching to the young boys there. Young men. And we was talking about the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. I said, guys, do you know what sodomy is? Amen. So I had to explain what was going on. I explained that. But you know something? Look here. And I said, fellas, I said, fellas, listen. I said, come on. In the beginning, God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve, right? And you know what them boys like? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they weren't mocking it. They were just intent. They were listening because they're not hearing it. And better if you take some things for granted and think that people should know, they're not. They're getting bombarded. Yes, this so far at the fair, more so than we've ever seen it, more so than last year. Man, it is unbelievable, the couple, women, coming in, just holding hands, and it's sad, brethren. It's just increasing. And brethren, you and I have got to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and say, look, but God said this. This is what God said. This is what God established. Look here. Let's go back just a minute. Deuteronomy 22. So a mother bird, now I want you to stay with me, hang with me. A mother bird will naturally do those things. She will warm, she will protect, she will feed, she will defend, unless, you say there's exceptions, of course. Well, if there's exceptions, whoa, exceptions never disprove the rule. Exceptions prove the rule. Because you can't have an exception unless you have a rule. And God, in His all-knowing wisdom, has provided some exceptions to teach you and I. You see, a mother bird will naturally do those things unless she be an ostrich or a cowbird. Let's first look at the ostrich. Go to Job 39. She will naturally do those things unless she be an ostrich or a cowbird. Go to Job 39. Job 39. Look at verse 13. By the way, in Job 39, this is the Lord speaking to Job. The Lord speaking to Job. And He says in verse 13, gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks? To Job, because the Lord is calling Job on the carpet in the book of Job. Job has spoken without reason. And the Lord is calling him on the carpet, and he's telling him, okay, Job, come on, you know it all? Really, that's what the Lord says to him. All right, give me some answers. He's gavest thou the goodly wings on the peacocks. Bald peacocks, they're something, aren't they? Fan that thing out. That's beautiful. But look what he says next. Or wings and feathers under the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth, and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. Now listen. Better be careful. You're supposed to believe the Bible, right? The Lord said to Job, Job, did you form the ostrich, make her like she is? Did you give her goodly wings? Which leaveth her eggs in the dust and forgetteth that the foot may crush them. Now, be careful lest you dare say, well, I mean, it ain't like she really forgets them. What did the Lord just say? Respectfully, may I ask you a question? Who do you think you are? The Lord said, folks, if you're not careful, you will find how even believers sometimes give the nod to science before they do Almighty God. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm waiting for somebody to come up to the booth and say, well, now you know, a whale is not a fish. A whale's a mammal. And my response will be, I'm sorry, but a whale is a fish, according to God. Think about this. No, a whale's a mammal. Would you stop a minute? Where did you get that from? That's man's classification. Okay, fine. If man wants to do that, man can do whatever he wants to do. That's fine. But what is God's classification? God calls a whale a fish. The Bible refers to what swallowed Jonah as both a whale and a fish. Yes, but it has characteristics. Well, fine. It's got characteristics. But if God wants to say, I classify something by its environment, I figure he got the right to, being he's the creator. Do you understand? Brethren, even believers don't understand sometimes how they are quicker to give the nod to science or man rather than to God Almighty. God calls a whale a fish. If he wants to call it that based on its environment, he's got the right to do that. Okay, so God says that the ostrich is hard. She forgets that her foot will crush them. You know why? Look what it says next. Look at this. Verse number 16. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Now, ornithologist, science will no doubt tell you. And I love birds, man. Me and my wife love looking at birds, man. But ornithologists will probably tell you, no doubt. Well, now, that's just speaking metaphorically because, she's not really hardened. The Lord said to Job, she is hardened against her young. Well, no, that's just the way. Oh, yes, she's that way because God made her a certain way to teach you and me lessons. Look what it says next. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear. Look at verse 17. Because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. Well, Pastor, I believe that Job, that's not Job. That's the Lord saying that to Job. And the Lord said he did not impart to the ostrich understanding and wisdom. Which, guess what that lets us know? Some animals he does. And some animals he doesn't, so that he can illustrate things. You take a fox. Man, there's somebody. Why do you think a fox is known as wily and cunning and why are they known? Did you know that fox hunters, men who observe foxes, will tell you that they honestly believe the fox enjoys the chase as much or more than the dogs do? Unbelievable. Foxes have been known to lead the dogs back through their own trail and come back to the start line and be yapping at them. They will taunt dogs. They will lead them into traps set for them. It's amazing. Foxes, God imparted something to those foxes. That's why Jesus said, tell that fox, wily, cunning. The Lord made them that way. Other animals have, but God, with the ostrich, God deprived her of wisdom. God deprived her of understanding. God didn't give it to her. I mean, people will make, jokes about people. Oh, your brain's passed out. You didn't get it. They'll say things, right? Well, with the ostrich, no kidding. God deprived her of that. Why? To use her life, to use her as an illustration of how a woman shouldn't be. She's hardening against her young. She just leaves them in the dust. Forgets that the foot may crush them. Now, ornithologists will say, well, no. Yes. There's a reason she's like, oh, you know what people will say? Animal lovers who go to the extreme, will say, oh, no, there's good things about, well, sure, there's good things about ostrich. You learn things from her, how not to be. She stinks as a mom. I mean, honestly, there'll be some scientists, ornithologists, they'd be like, You can't say that. You can say just statements like that. No, she stinks as a mom. Do you know why? God, what did I just read? He deprived her of wisdom and understanding. Why? He's teaching us some things. Look what it says in verse number 18. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his rider. What does that mean? She don't fly. She don't fly. She's not. I mean, you ever seen an ostrich soar? You know what she does? She runs. They have ostrich races. People mount them and ride them. I wouldn't go into battle that way. It's not. By the way, did you know your Bible says that God made a horse for battle? The Bible says he heareth the sound of the trumpet. Custer. It is recorded that in Custer's men, the horses smelled that battle. They smelled what was ahead. And Custer told his men, hold them back, boys. There'll be plenty for all of us. Understatement of the century. And it definitely was. But really, they can tell. They can tell. They can sense. Those horses, they'll paw. That's in a battle. Shot and shells going around. And they're just, God made a horse for battle. They'll be used in battle again, according to the Bible. Brother, God imparted certain characteristics. But to the ostrich, he deprived her of them. Listen. So I want you to notice something. We spoke about a dam sitting on her nest. You know what the ostrich does? Instead of a protective nest, she just leaves them in the dust. She just leaves them in the dust. See, God's deprived her of wisdom and understanding. We read this morning of those who don't have natural affection. Brethren, we have a generation being raised today that it's not that God has deprived them of wisdom. It's that, look, parents are not imparting to them the wisdom, the guidance, the understanding. Churches are not helping young women to be the young women God intended them to be and young men to be the men God intended them to be. And imparting those things that are supposed to be there. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Let me tell you something. Those early years, those nurturing years are so important. When that mama holds that baby close and spends time there. But how many mothers today look at him as just an inconvenience? It's in my way. I won't be able to do anything now. I can't go out with my friends. You should have thought of that before you let that young man have his way with your body. Gosh. Well, I can't get to do what I want to do now. Hush! Hush! My grandma, I told you before, she had no place for it, bud. My grandma got pregnant at 19 without a husband. It was wrong. It was sin. She had to get it right with God. She raised my mama by herself. She didn't want to hear none of that stuff, bud. She didn't want to hear none of that crying. None of that stuff about, oh, my life. Well, you should have thought. My grandma never one time went around going like, oh, woe is me. No, she realized I sinned. I did wrong. I gave in to a young man. He had his way with me. I got pregnant. Guess what? That's life now. And I got to raise that baby girl. And I got to do right. Glory to God, she did. And I've told you some of the details before and won't go into it no more now. But I'm telling you, this mess today of like, but I was going to this. Well, you were, you ain't now. You were raised that young and do right. You should have thought of that. It's just the way it is. Don't come at me with no stuff. I'm talking about my own grandma. I loved her to death. Thought the world of her. She got right with God and went on and did right. Did right. Never married. Looked at me in her mid-80s. She died, she's 93. Looked at me in her mid-80s. Me and her was in a living room by herself. Looked up at me from her, whatever she was doing, working on a quilt or whatever. She said, you know why I never got married? And I was like, oh boy, that thing's never been brought up. And I said, no, grandma, why? She said, I never met another man I loved. Gave herself to that young man she loved. He didn't marry her. What did he do? You live about 70, 80 years with that thing. And you go on to do right. You don't weep and moan about it. And you don't go, oh, woe is me. Oh, pitiful, pitiful me. No, sir. And she didn't have no truck with it, bud. She didn't have no truck with that stuff about moaning and moaning and moaning. It's like, okay, you made some choices. You got to deal with the consequences. Now, did it, get it and go on. Get right with God. Move on. Now, I'll tell you something, brethren. I'll tell you something. It's sad when you got a grandma who's got more character to her than most men you meet. That's the truth. And she just went on with it. Look here, Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Listen, you see that ostrich, she doesn't take care of her young. She doesn't function as she was equipped to do. She tries to be something she isn't. See, God gave her wings, but she tries to run like a horse. Gavest thou goodly wings unto the ostrich? But you don't see no ostrich flying. What time she lift up herself on high, the horse around, she runs. And she can run pretty good. By the way, don't make an ostrich mad. They will disembowel you. They will scrape you with that front claw and they will disembowel you. You know what? There's a generation of women out there being raised up. I'm telling you. Don't care nothing about the whole man. Don't care what's right. Cross them, bud. They'll claw your eyes out. They'll disembowel you. Take your Bible. Go to Micah 2. Micah 2. I'm woman. Hear me roar. Listen, you know what the problem is? That all sounds good. That's not the exaltation of womanhood. God wants a woman exalted to the place that God meant for her to have. The devil wants to degrade her and bring her down from the place that God meant for a woman to have. Micah 2. Micah 2 and verse number 9. The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. Let me tell you something. Be careful. If you're not careful, you will let this world take you from the home for career and covetousness. Your children will pay the price for it. I'm serious. And let me tell you something. If you go that route, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised then when they get older and they don't have feel anything towards you. Okay? Let me tell you something. Now, thank God for His mercy and grace and forgiveness in Christ. And God can bring healing. But it can only come through Christ. You know why a lot of our... Let me tell you something. There's a generation today. Let me tell you something. And nurse homes, resting homes getting filled up. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. That thing comes back around. I've not got time for that child. I ain't got time for that baby. So daycare will raise them. Well, let me tell you something. There's going to come a time for you. They ain't got time for you. And rest home will take care of you. They don't care about me. You didn't care about them when they was little. I understand the situation. My grandma, she had to work. Listen, my grandma had to work. But there were no programs. There were no state or federal programs. And back then, it was still looked at as a sinful thing. She was shunned. She just worked, set aside nickels and dimes, to quarters to buy land for her and my mom. I told you, cleared the trees off with an axe like a man. That's what she did. That's what she had to do. But she brought my mama up. And she, listen, any time my mama had to spend anywhere else, it was because she had no other choice and she had to do what she had to do. My grandma was not doing that because I want things or I want my own career. She's like, I got to. And she did it. Let me tell you something. Better be careful. It'll come back around on you. And let me tell you something. What judgment you judge, you'll be judged. Measure you meet, it should be measured to you again. Okay, my grandma did that. And I've told y'all, man, 1996, or I think it was, my grandma died at 93. Brethren, my mama took care of her. My mama shed them tears, and she said, oh, Jonathan, she's a queen. That woman in that room is a queen. And said, she ain't going to go nowhere unless I can't take care of her. She's going to stay right there in that room, and I'm going to take care of her. And my mama did. My mom was in her 70s and still looking after her and taking care of her, and she died right there in the house. And, I mean, you know what she did? She was surrounded by love. Because she messed up. My grandma didn't make a mistake. She sinned. Oops, I'm pregnant. Oh, good night. She sinned. And she got it right with God. And she gave my mama love. And she gave my mama herself. And you know what my mama did? She returned it in spades. And not just her, but my daddy. My daddy loved my grandma. Wasn't even his own mama. Oh, he loved her so much. And we grandkids and all, everybody's around, just right there with her. It was so sweet when she passed on. She sinned. She messed up big time. But she got it right, and she did right. And you know what? She had those surrounds. She got love extended back to her. But let me tell you something. You got a crowd out there. I ain't got time for you. The daycare raised you. I ain't got time for you. I ain't got time for you. Well, you know what's going to happen? That youngin's liable to not have time for you one day. What goes around does come around, and that's a biblical principle. All right. Be careful. You will let this world take you from the home for career and covetousness. And low-down sorry husbands will push the wives out of the home to do that. I don't understand it. I'm sorry. I don't understand it. I cannot understand a man saying, you need to be out there and you need to get to work. She says, the kids there? You understand what I'm saying? I don't understand a man getting on a woman saying, you need to get out there, you need to do this. I'm out here slaving. I work. You stay at home. I mean, what I'm saying is, brother, look here. Okay, there's kids. We got confusion today. I'm talking about a man making and telling his wife, getting on her, goading her, berating her, getting on her case. Okay. So you want her out there doing that? I guess you still want her also coming in and making sure the beds are all done and the clothes are cleaned and the food's on the table and this, that, and the other and all like that. And anyway, listen. Listen. Instead of being brought up in a mother's nurturing care, they are brought up in an institutional system. What are you saying, Brother Doss? Do you know instead of having nests, we have chicken houses? You get me? You got a nest, and you got chicken houses. But that's what he's saying. Instead of homes, we've got daycares and public school systems. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I understand everybody's situation is different. And as a pastor, I've never told anybody in this church what they're... So I'll put out principles. You understand me? I'll warn you about the public school system. I'll warn you. That's going to be your call between you and God. But I'll tell you something, you got to stay on top of that thing like white on rice if you're going to keep damage from happening. Christian schools, homeschooling, I think those are other options. Sacrifices may have to be made, all right? But why, and everybody's situation is different. I mean, Matt, come on. Got a different situation there. Got something you got to work with and do. God bless you, brother. And things, so everybody's situation is going to be different. So you understand what I'm saying? But I'm telling you what, you better make that call based on the Lord has given you guidance and direction and you're clear with it before the Lord and for a right kind of reason. Listen, instead of nests today, I'm telling you, it's commercial chicken houses. It's not homes. It's daycares and systems like that. Yeah, think about it. Why are young raised in a chicken house for to be commercially slaughtered? Brethren, the world system doesn't teach them of the glory of God. It prepares them to be devoured and consumed. Brethren, there's chickens. You may have some chickens. That's great. You got there, eat the eggs, do whatever you want. Brethren, but there are chickens. There are chickens out there that have nests and raise their young and nobody ever eats them and they just, whatever, you know. But brethren, but a commercial chicken house, oh, that's for one purpose. Them chicken houses, they raise them things for one purpose. That is to be slaughtered and eat. Which is great for me. I love chicken. There ain't nothing wrong with it. But I'm saying concerning your children. Are you bringing them up in a home or an institutionalized thing that all it's doing is preparing them for slaughter? Because the Bible says the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he what? May devour. May devour. All right. Just real quick, hang with me. I mentioned another bird. Cowbirds. What's cowbird? Well, go down to the mall here in North Charleston, especially when it gets a little warmer, and look around the parking lot, and you'll see gulls, laughing gulls, and other things. But you'll see a bird that's kind of black and brown. Won't be all black. It has some brown around the head and brown around. Most likely, that's a cowbird. Cowbirds hang around places like that. But cowbirds have a unique characteristic that God has done with them to teach us some things. I call cowbirds welfare birds. What do you mean? Because here's what a cowbird does. A cowbird lays its nest in its eggs in other birds' nests. Oh yeah, a cowbird, that's why I call them welfare birds. Cowbird takes its eggs and puts them in a cardinal's nest or a mockingbird's nest. It lays its eggs in other nests and goes on its merry way. And what happens is when they hatch, you got this big cowbird. Really, it tends to be bigger than the other ones. And you know what happens? Bless them cardinals and them mockingbirds, blue jays, they raise it. They raise it. But that big old cowbird baby about takes the thing over. It's bigger than the rest of them. And that mama just went on its way. Cowbirds. You know what? We're raising a generation of females today that are cowbirds. They get pregnant. You know why a lot of times they get pregnant? I get money. I get money. And you know what they'll do? Somebody else is going to raise them. I'm going to get pregnant because I have no scruples to me. I have nothing to me, no chastity, no nothing. But my grandma and my mama are going to raise them. Or the state system is. Seriously, cowbird. I'm going to have the baby, but I'm going to put it in somebody's nest, other's nest to raise. And you know what? Since usually a child like that is not getting any kind of training, they'll take over everything. They're self-centered. That cowbird in that nest takes over that nest. Me. Because nobody's training it to have the mastery of itself. A lot of times what we call self-control in Lee's day, Jackson's day, in the 1800s, they called it self-mastery. The mastering of oneself. And they considered it an essential trait, especially for a believer to have. And that's Bible on that thing too. Now listen. A mother bird will have a natural care, unless she's an ostrich or unless she's a cowbird. And God has made those birds with those characteristics to teach you and me. But, you know, we ain't got time to observe. We got to play our game, and we got to do this. We don't have time to observe. Come on, brother. God has given us His Word and the book of nature coinciding together to teach you and me if we'll learn. Real quick, I'm just about done. Go to Deuteronomy 22, verse number 6 and 7. If a bird's nest chanced to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young, or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. But thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. The last point I want you to notice is this. Notice it was wrong to take the eggs or the young. Notice that the eggs also are referred to as young. I'm going somewhere. Watch this. Look what it says. It says, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. So notice that young encompasses both eggs and those that are hatched. But thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee. So the young here, will incorporate both the hatched and the unhatched. But also, what are you saying? Well, I'm saying that notice that eggs are referred to as young, whether in egg or hatched. If fertilized, it is considered young. This should help further clarify as to whether or not a child has to breathe air to be considered viable and a person. If fertilized, it was considered young, whether in or out of the egg. So, a lot of people want to try to, it's amazing. It's amazing the mental gymnastics people will try to do to try to get around the viability of a child in that womb. But they do. But I just think to me that sheds a little even more light on that thing, of its viability. Whether in the egg or out of it. If fertilized, young. Whether in the egg or hatched out of it. Well, listen. There's some interesting stuff there to pour over. God did not expect a haphazard, slipshod attitude concerning elements of the realm of nature. Birds and their young. God said, however that thing was handled would either make it well with the children of Israel and prolong their days, or whether it wouldn't be well with them and their days wouldn't be prolonged, based on what they did with a dam sitting upon eggs or young. That's fascinating. But for you and I, as far as drawing a spiritual application, moms, you don't ever want to be labeled an ostrich or a cowbird. And you want to teach these young girls that what they should know naturally, all right, Don't let that be stolen from them. In fact, what they should know naturally, help encourage that. Help feed that. Help nurture that. Because we have an enemy that's trying to take all that away, and he wants them. He wants them. He don't want nests. He wants chicken houses prepared for slaughter. And does not the institutionalized system the world has set up, does it not make it easier for the devil to eat them alive? Yes, it does. That's once again the importance of that nest and the home and the task therein. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I pray you help us, Lord, to understand these matters. Lord, a lot of different things chew on out in these passages, Father. Help us to meditate therein. Help us, Lord, to glean from these things. Father, help, Lord, these mothers and these young girls, Lord, whom they be mothers. Father, to be the mothers that it is inherently in them naturally to be, and what they can be, Lord, by your Spirit and by your word. And Lord, help us to realize the importance, dear God, of nurturing what should naturally be there. Father, help us as husbands, dear God, to encourage, Lord, wives and daughters, Lord, and being what they ought to be and having a stable home. Father, help us, Lord, please, with these matters. And Lord, help us to never take lightly what the enemy is trying to do, Lord, to just, Lord, get a situation where he can devour them. And surely, Lord, the institutionalized world system out there surely makes it easier for them to be devoured. Father, help us to see these things and help us to make a right and a proper application with them. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name.